And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, I'm going to jump into Peter. We already did this as a teaching, but we're going to jump in there and look at it where it says, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Uh-oh. Suffering for righteousness' sake is, in that context, doing good, but suffering because you're being a Christian, because you're doing good. It's about praying for people, caring for people, loving people. You know, this guy that got arrested because he was praying outside an abortion clinic suffered because he was doing good. God loves that because it proves that guy honors Jesus in his heart. Next, as we've said before, so we say again, so be ready, the Bible teaches us to watch and pray. To watch means to observe, to be aware, to have our eyes open, to be prepared. We are commanded to be ready to defend, to give an apologetic or a defense of our faith to anyone who asks us for the reason of the hope that's in us. But here is the kicker. You have to have a hope in you in order to be able to defend it. People have to be able to see that we hold on to hope that goes past circumstantial understanding. Very important. And finally, I am leaning towards a 1 Samuel teaching. Why? Because. And then also this. Jonathan is with his attendant, and they're trying to figure out what to do next for their steps. What do they do? Jonathan decides, you know what? Let's take a chance. The Lord can help us, he says. It doesn't matter whether there's just a few or many of us. He is right. Stepping out in faith and believing that God can help is a manner that pleases God fully. So let's live to please him.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And so much more. Just so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and creatures of all ages and sizes, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite!
Dynamite! All right, now, talking to Dynamite D is like heading into the weekend. There you go. It's like heading into the weekend.
That might be our favorite one, Dave.
I need a little bit of a break.
You too?
I've been going 9 trillion miles an hour. It's okay. 9 trillion miles an hour. Can you imagine? It's a good thing I don't exaggerate. Anyhow, so here's the couple of things I want you to be aware of, okay? So if you've got a praise report, excellent opportunity here to share it. You can do it online if you want us to do it for you, but you can also call in and we will give you the chance to share it, because praise reports are exceedingly encouraging for one another, and that's kind of what we live by. Hebrews 10:25, we're encouraging one another as we see the return of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. That's number one. Number two, if you've got a prayer request, let's take our faith with your faith and we will petition. Just like we had Brother Ace call in praying for a fresh anointing, and you guys should keep praying for that until Brother Ace calls in and says, hallelujah. Because that's what we do for one another, is we carry each other's burdens. We strengthen each other. We stand by each other. We love each other as the Lord intended. And then the other thing that we do is Bible trivia. So I haven't done Bible trivia yet because I couldn't stop talking in the last segment. We'll get back to that a little later on. But let's at least do Bible trivia. This is a great trivia question because I found a new trivia book with 4,500 trivia questions.
That's quite a bit, Dave.
Yeah. So that gives, I have a total of about 28,000. See, I'm not too concerned about exhausting those.
Won't be running out anytime
not,
soon.
Probably not, as far as I can tell. But I love the way that this asks questions, and I want to use it for a little while, so you'll have to just put up with me for a little while. Listen to this question. I'm going to ask you the question, and this is going to be a multiple choice, but you will have the answer, so you'll be able to figure it out. How many loaves and fish were there in the first multiplication made by Jesus? Was it 5 loaves and 2 fish, 2 loaves and 5 fish, or 3 loaves and 2 fish? I just love it. It's just so good. 5 loaves and 2 fish, 2 loaves and 5 fish, or 3 loaves and 2 fish. Which one is that? I think it makes it more confusing to add those in, which is why I think that's hilarious. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So it's really, it's just this. Either you do A, B, C, or 1, 2, 3. That doesn't matter. It's just this. Is it 5 loaves and 2 fish, 2 loaves and 5 fish, or 3 loaves and 2 fish?
The little multiple kind of tricky a little
bit. Yeah, see, and that was so when I read it at first, I was like, well, I know the answer, but I love that it does that because then it's like, I got to make sure. Okay. Is somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. I'm not going to be dishonest. I'm looking forward to the fact that tomorrow I'm not doing this, in the sense that I need a little break. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired. So, but I appreciate you asking. I really do. How are you feeling? About the same?
Well, I have felt better.
Okay.
I love hanging in there.
That's your standard answer. You know, it's like, I have felt better.
I have.
All right, let's do this, and then we'll pray for you, okay? Because I want to pray for you, and I love to pray for you. Sorry, here we go. How many loaves and fishes were there in the first multiplication made by Jesus? Do you know?
There was five loaves and two fishes.
That is correct, my dear sir!
Two fishy.
That's right. Yeah. And I just want to put, and I've said this before, and I did say it the other day, and I think some people got offended. And I'm not trying to offend anybody, but they're like, it's just a lunch for the kid. If that kid's eating 5 loaves and 2 fish, he's Fat Albert. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, that's a huge amount. That's enough to feed a family. But anyway, the point being, that is the correct amount. And of course, that then filled the multitude because Jesus lifting up with thanksgiving and then gave it away, which is a big key right there. Hey,
in all 4 Gospels, too.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing that the one thing for provision and taking care of us, it's the one miracle, creative miracle, that's in all 4 Gospels, the only one. It's like, besides the resurrections and so on and so forth, it's like, that's amazing because God is trying to communicate, I know what you need, and I can provide it for you. I love that. All right. Let's pray for you, okay?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, I lift up my brother, Gary. I love Gary. Love him. I pray for him every day. He's just a blessing. I know he doesn't have that same connection with me that maybe I would like him to, but I want him, Lord, for you to communicate to him that my heart carries him and that I care for him and that we all care for him. And we're just asking you to heal him, to touch him, to encourage him, but again, to heal him, because he needs the healing power that comes from you and you alone, because nowhere else, not going to happen anywhere else. We need a miracle from you. Bring it into Gary's life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, and I'll continue to pray for all of you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, so there's so much to cover, and again, because I'm just behind. What am I supposed to do about this?
Perpetually.
It's like I'm so far behind. So we did trivia. We're going to do our DNA. I do want to do a comment on the earlier teaching, and then we'll see where that plays out. So let's do our DNA. It's very important to do. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Every day. Every day that ends in Y, spend some time with the guy in the sky. And separated time, okay? That's D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, ever be ashamed of what Jesus had to say, period. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
That means keep your radar up for you being used as a vehicle for God to bless somebody through you, with you, using you. That's all. Love them the way that the Lord wants you to. That's what DNA every day should be functioning as. Now, I'm going to go back, but then I'm still going to do this first teaching. So I do want to say something about the thing we talked about earlier, which has to do with marriage and had to, I made a comment about Song of Solomon. Some people, I remember in my master's in the theological study class, the entire class was, not the entire class, half the class were losing their minds because I said, you guys have completely misunderstand this book. God writing a book in the Old Testament having to do with men and women just is so normal. It's just like, why is
that?
It's like so normal. And the secondary approach, not the primary, the secondary approach can then be applied to Jesus and the church. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't pull it out of context. I mean, this is Solomon. We already know the guy had a huge propensity for women. And so it's like that's what he wrote. So don't be weird about it. It's fine. But I also want to pray for people for marriages, for new beginnings, for healing, and for people that are struggling in the overall realm. So let's just pray real fast and bring it before the Lord, because only the Lord can bring that kind of healing, right? Father, we come before you right now. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of one another. That's a gift you've given us, and you've brought into our lives different ways that pleasure can be a part of our lives. But Lord, some of us have either abused it or been abused in it, and we certainly pray for healing in those areas, that you would be merciful and kind, and where there needs to be healing balm, you would bring it. And that there are relationships, Lord, that need a fresh touch, just like our dear brother A said, he needs a fresh anointing. Some relationships, some marriages need a fresh touch, and we ask you to bring that for people. And some people need to move forward, and that's what they need to do, forgetting the one thing, forgetting that which is behind, and pressing forward to that which is before. And so we pray for them, that they would be able to do that and not look back with a bitterness that pains them. But what we pray for more than all of these things is that we would present ourselves before you, do what is right before you, honor you, and you would help us keep it right in our minds, in our hearts, and in our bodies, because we need your help in that. A lot of temptation in the world, but a lot more of you and strength from you so we can stand separated. We pray for help in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Now, amazingly, guess what this teaching is?
What is that, Dave?
Oh, this is just, well, I just think it's, all right. It's a teaching about inward separation. It's just fun. Let me get there because it's take me a second. In 1 Peter 3:13-15, it says, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. We just prayed that. We just literally prayed that prayer. We just prayed, 1 Peter 3:13-15a, we just prayed, okay, but in our hearts, Lord, let us present ourselves before you so that in our bodies, in our minds, and in our hearts, we do it right before you. We're honorable before you. This is exactly what this text leading about that. None of this was planned, by the way. So I just want to point out a couple of quick things, and then we'll take our break. Suffering for righteousness' sake is not suffering because we're obnoxious. Okay. So I just have to say that because too many people think, well, I'm a Christian and that's why I'm suffering. Well, it could be that and the fact that you're throwing things at people. I mean, see, there's an obnoxiousness there, right? So it's got to be for the kingdom that we're suffering for righteousness' sake. But here's what it says. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. So I want you to look at verse 14. Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. You know what you don't got to do? Worry about it. You don't got to worry about it. Well, what if this happens before, you know, what if the rapture is pre-mill, but this happens before? What if it's pre-trib? What if it's mid-trib, and I have to go through this? What if it's post-trib? Or what if it's completely different from an eschatological point of view? It doesn't matter. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be troubled whenever the trumpet blows. You don't have to worry about what takes place prior. You want to know why? Because the Lord is with you. We already did that earlier. And it says specifically, verse 15, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Inside of you, separate on the inside of you unto him. He's Lord of what's going on around you, right? You already know that circumstantially. But he's also supposed to be Lord of what's going on inside of you. So on the outside, sure, you should be aware of that. But on the inside, too, the Lord is aware. He's with you. He'll help you. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Keep Jesus as Lord on the inside. All that other stuff on the outside, that'll pan out. Of course it will. The Lord has never failed in a promise, nor will he ever. Okay? All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
The deterioration of the ecosystem or creation itself is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ, and until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, Oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
You're here when I need you the most. When I need
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Shout out to Noah and Cammy who are listening in the wonderful city of San Diego, California. It's very, very nice city. So it's, but I've lived in Detroit and in Phoenix. So I get to say, you know, what I think is nice and not nice. Is that fair?
That's very fair. I looked it up online, you know, did a little looking up, and it looks beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's beautiful out there. The politics have they've lost their minds.
Politics drain it.
They've lost their minds, you know. They're going to find people who, when their neighbors are watering, but the city doesn't turn off the water when it's raining, when they're watering.
Bunch of little gangs.
Okay, sure. Okay. Everybody sit down. Be quiet. Okay, great. All right. Let's do our next trivia question. Next trivia question. Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. What is the meaning of Genesis? Now, hold on. I'm going to give you three choices. What is the meaning of Genesis? Output, origin, or revelation? Okay, now listen to what I'm saying. These are the three. Now, these are all very technical terms, okay? Genesis. Is it output, origin, or revelation? Those are the three opportunities that you have to choose between all of the three things. What is, in fact, the meaning of the word Genesis? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So for those that are not familiar with the show, some shows are very teachy. Some shows are very preachy, and some shows are just like, we have no idea what God is doing.
A little mixture.
Yeah, it's a mixture of everything. All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm good, and I hope you're doing well.
I am doing very well. I did work out a little harder than I should have yesterday, and so my knee looks a little bit more puffy than it's supposed to. So I can't. I gotta take a break because otherwise I'll be calling in. Yes, I don't want to do that.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen, right?
Amen. Amen to that. All right, you ready for this one? This is going to give you the question and the three, and then you tell me which one it is. Okay.
Okay.
What is the meaning of Genesis? Is it output, origin, or revelation?
I think it's origin.
That is correctamundo! So correctamundo you are. Origin, that's like the whole thing. It's like, that's why in the beginning, it's like, this is how it all started, folks. Let me explain it to you. And so it's in the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, science. Not in the beginning, other religions. Not in the beginning, God. That's how it starts.
Right, right. All righty. Well, thank you, and God bless.
All right, take care. God bless you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we got that. See, we're always learning, right? We just want to keep moving forward. Okay, I got a couple of jokes. So we haven't had a chance to do as many jokes as I'd like to do, especially in the last 2 weeks.
Been a little behind on everything.
A little bit behind on the jokes, but we're going to do a few of them here. They are not the best jokes, but they are cute jokes. And cute jokes also count. Okay? All right. What did the Dalmatian say after he finished eating? What did the Dalmatian say after he finished eating? That hit the spots.
Wow! Wow! Wow!
All right, next. Hold on. I told you they were cute. How do you find your dog if he's lost in the woods? You put your ear up to a tree and listen for the bark. Okay. But this one, we're going to go into a different animal now. What animal makes it hard to carry on a conversation? A goat, because he always wants to butt in. Okay, that's not that great. But this is funny if I tell it right, so don't just listen to how I say it. Listen to the whole thing and then think about it. What did one horse say to another horse? Your pace is familiar, but I don't remember your name.
Nip it in the bud.
See, your pace is familiar, but I don't remember your name. Instead of your face is familiar, but I don't remember your name. Oh, come on. Now that is funny. All right, this is me crumpling up the joke page. This is probably why we haven't done them for a while. Okay, next. Okay, here we go. Next teaching, are we ready to go on to the next one? Oh, yeah, don't. Dynamite D's like, please, next one. Okay, fine. This is called Ready to Defend. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the second half of the verse says this. Ready? Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So there are four things here that I want to say, like, real quickly. Number one, always prepared. What does that mean? You are alert, right? You are like, you know the alarm systems that protect houses? When they're on, are always on, always ready, right? To make a defense. So in Jude, verse 3 in Jude, because it's only one chapter, it says, "Beloved, I was very eager to write to you about the common salvation. I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." Sometimes you've got to just stand firm in the faith, even if people don't appreciate or like it. Because if you're willing to compromise your faith because you want the approval of people, you don't know Jesus. How about that? And oh, by the way, the religious leaders denied Jesus because they were more interested in people's approval than in God's. So it's like, no, you can't do that. Always be prepared. Then it says with gentleness and respect. So that means using truth and the Holy Spirit's wisdom and not human weapons. You don't throw things at people and make them feel bad or, you know, that's not your goal is to follow as the Lord is leading you. But the biggest part about this that I want to talk about, and I'll only do it for about a minute and a half, is this. It says always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Now, the problem there is that too many Christians walk around like there's no hope. And so nobody's going to ask you because you're always miserable. And it's like, why would they ask you? Why would they say, hey, what's the reason you're so hopeful when you're always like not hopeful, right? It's like Eeyore. Oh boy, it's my birthday. I mean, come on. You're going to spend eternity with God dancing on streets of gold. You're going to live forever. There's going to be no pain and no sorrow. You're going to have a phenomenal home in the kingdom of God. And we're going to have such a great time in the Lord, in with one another. And you got no hope? That means you're so focused here that you forget about the there. And I'm pretty sure it was Jesus. Let me check. Oh, wait, it was. Who said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And by the way, when they say, oh, he's so heavenly minded, he's of no earthly good, you should be so lucky. Because that would be impressive to God, regardless of what people think. How's that one? Woo! A little smoke on that,
good
right?
Stuff,
all
party.
Right, there we go. All right, we got the other two that are coming are just, buckle up. That's all I can say. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a whole hearty welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you, a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the father's like. Now, listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect heavenly Father who reveals his will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have. I always will.
And if you can't shout sight,
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where we only have a half hour left. What happened?
Rolling along?
Roll it.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep them doggies rolling. Rot.
Okay, here we go.
We have too much fun doing this.
We do have a lot of fun. It is part of what we do. Here is your big trivia question. Okay, big trivia question. All right, here you go. Let me see if you guys can get this one. All right.
Let's hear it.
What was the sin of Israel that caused them to perish by the destroying angel? Hold on. The first answer, the first option, murmuring. The second option, gluttony, or the third option, idolatry. Which of those three did Israel do where God said, yeah, that's enough?
Now, knowing Israel, Dave, it could be a few of those.
It's like, that's enough. Now, remember, they did a little bit of everything. So nobody, don't get too discouraged or anything like that. It's just one of those. Got to check it out all over the places. All over the place, sorry. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We're going to send you up to the website as we do. I will tell you two things real quickly. One, on the website is there's a lot of fun stuff on there, and you should just check it out. There's videos, there's audios, there's goofy stuff, there's a cartoon. There used to be plans for creating a Death Star, but I think we moved that to a different site. Additionally, if you want to give, it's great. It's 100% tax deductible. Right on there is this little donate thing. Here's the scripture for today on the giving, Deuteronomy 15:10. Give generously to the poor and do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hand. See, that's just like, that's cool. So check it out on the website. HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Little chicken thing.
Little chicken thing at the end there. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. This is going to be a tricky one. This is David. Who am I talking to?
It's Brother Roger again.
Hey, Brother Roger again. How are you?
I've done twice in 1 week. It's unusual for me to even do so.
Well, glad to have you.
I have to answer the easy ones.
I love it. We got so many people that answered, and guess what? 3/4 of them are wrong. So here we go. What was the sin of Israel that caused them to perish by the destroying angel?
My mind.
That is correct, Amundo! For references, for those who are freaking out right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. And just so you can know, it says this, and don't grumble as some of them did, for that is why God sent his angel of death to destroy them. So, yeah, that's, there you go. Excellent job, brother. That's just wonderful.
I kind of get a spanking for that once a week. So.
Yeah, that was really only once a week? That's impressive. No, excellent job. Really, really good.
All right, here's a brother says I have a word, but I have a prayer.
Okay.
That I pray for the audience to receive a blessing, and if they hear this and receive an unexpected financial blessing, that they will remember David Spoon Ministry in Jesus' name.
I'm going to second that because, you know, we have to, we need to, and I appreciate that, and thank you for saying that, brother. I appreciate that.
So if you get an unexpected blessing, remember David Spoon Ministry.
There you go. Remember, he must increase ministry. That's the way to do it.
I'll be waiting on my unexpected blessing to come.
All right, and I'm waiting for your blessing to come our way. All right, brother. God bless you.
All right, well, you bless me. So my wife always says, bless others as they bless you. Well,
there you go.
I'm trying my best to bless others as God blesses me. So that's the way to do her.
Amen, brother. Nice word.
Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. In Jesus' name, God bless you all.
Amen. All right, brother. Roger again never fails.
Telling Roger he always has a word, but today was a prayer.
Yeah, so it's kind of nice.
And we didn't pay him to say that as well.
Yeah, we didn't pay him to say that. I'm so cheap. Are you kidding? Noelle said, were you going to get this one resource? I'm like, no. She goes, why? I said, it's more than $20. I'm not. That's not happening. Anyway, you guys just don't know how it goes. That's right. All right, so let me just teach this really good, and then we'll do history on the backside. So listen, this is really important. So listen, especially those who are like eschatological, which is like end time stuff. Just listen to what I'm going to say. Okay? Many of you know I still consider myself in almost every single area, except for being Jewish, I still consider myself a student. Okay, except for being Jewish,
I've done that my whole life. All right, so I'm a student of multiple eschatologies. I'm a manifold millennialist. That's not a pan-millennialist. A pan-millennialist is like everything will pan out. That's not what I say. I see the millennium from the perspective of all the different points of view, and I rather enjoy it because I see what benefits come from each view. And instead of sitting there trying to defend a viewer or not, I just think it's hilarious. I think you can enjoy all of the benefits from all the views if you really follow it and study it. Okay, that's great. I rather enjoy seeing the benefits that I receive from it, but there's a particular advantage I want to talk about premillennialism that has a great shine to it, and it's very important. And this is the great advantage from premillennialism, not because it's the only one, not because it's the one that's true. Okay, stop that. It's simply this. There is a greater anticipation for the return of Jesus Christ and a greater expectation and sense of urgency. So one of the primary benefits of engaging with premillennialism is that there is a great urgency to proclaim the return of Christ. And he's coming again, and sooner than you think. And if you've read Revelation 22 three times, Jesus said, I am coming quickly. It's like, okay. If he comes for you individually or if he comes for us corporately, when he comes, he's coming quickly, okay? Let me read this to you, and I'm going to kind of run through it, and you'll catch it. Okay, this is – I'm going to use some different verses. If you need these verses, I can always give them to you, but I'm going to say them and then read them, and then you can always listen to it on tape. 2 Peter 3:3-4, knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. So scoffers are people that ridicule. You understand? And so these are people that are thinking in their minds, oh, sure, he's coming. In their minds, there's no eschatological anything. What they're saying is, where's the promise? It's been a while since it's happened. And so for them, they're thinking everything's the same and nothing's different. Well, first of all, that's not true. What do you mean that's not true? Have you noticed that the tree that was eaten from the garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Okay, you notice that, right? And then when they ate that tree, right, they sinned, right? They ran and hid. They had their discussion afterwards, right? But here's the thing to remember. They ate from the tree of what? The knowledge of good and evil. Isn't it amazing that things aren't the same because good and evil from the garden has continued to grow? Now evil knows 10,000 new ways to express itself, but then so does goodness. It can also express itself. They're growing. This is why the wheat and the tares grow together. You can't change that, okay? And then it says this in John 14:1-4, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Hey, guess what? Jesus is coming again. And as I know people absolutely hate this. I know they say, this must happen, this must happen, this must happen, this must happen. But if you hear in the next 10 seconds, da-da-da, you're going to just go, okay. All the theology dropping out. Oh, that can't happen. Not only can it happen, but it happens for people individually all the time. Okay, just pointing that out. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. They looked up intently up to the sky as he was going. This is referring to the ascension. Suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking in the sky? This same Jesus has been taken from you into heaven. He will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Hey, guess what? Jesus is coming back. And so some people, you know, there's some people are like, live as though the Lord is coming back in the next hour. Live as though he's not coming back for 100 years. I think that's brilliant. What is wrong with that? That's brilliant. You should live as though the expectation of the return of Jesus Christ can happen in the next 24 hours. I'll just ask you this. If you knew for sure Jesus was coming back in the next 48 hours, what would you do different? And then if you knew he wasn't coming back, but he wanted you to occupy until he comes, what would you do to help build the kingdom? Because here's the one thing that will not escape. Jesus is coming back.
period. Do we live our lives like Jesus is coming back? That's why premillennialism is so great. It's great. You can't change that. Do we live recognizing that Jesus is coming back? All right, folks, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry, okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, "This is how the Lord hurts for you." And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Another quick shout out to Cammie because she didn't get to hear it the first time. So, Cammie, I hope you're hearing this. Hello, 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 hello. I hope you're doing well. I pray for you guys regularly. Especially for you, Cammie. All right. And then the answer to the last trivia question, because some people didn't get it, was murmuring or complaining. So what was the sin of Israel that caused them to perish by the destroying angel that was murmuring or complaining? Very bad idea. This just tells you why complaining is bad. Complaining is bad. Bad idea. 1 Corinthians 10:10 is the reference point. So we do have somebody that is calling in. We want to give them a chance to reach out to us. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Shabbat shalom, brother.
Hello, brother. How are you?
Good. Hey, I have a trivia answer.
You have a trivia answer for something we already answered?
No, the question that you're going to ask me.
Oh, the question. So bad. Okay. All right. No. Who was the very important man from Ethiopia that Philip evangelized? Was he a great eunuch of authority, a Roman centurion, or an Ethiopian king?
He was an Ethiopian eunuch.
That is correct, Armando! My little brother, he does it again. Thank you very much. Good job, little brother.
Good. And I guess at the start of the program, you rang those bell, and I believe it was between 5 and 7 time that bell rang.
That's a good guess. The answer is 7. So that was an excellent guess. So we're going to give you another pop on that one. That was good. 7 bells. And I was going to say the most common number in Revelation, but I just decided not to.
Yeah. Well, the minute you asked, I started paying attention on a ring, but I said, I believe I missed a few beats there.
That's hilarious. How you doing, man?
Good.
Good. That's good. That's good. You need to be praying for all these people that are hurting, because I think you probably heard. Nola had passed yesterday, so we're praying for John and his family and for their whole situation.
I prayed for them yesterday, and I'm going to pray. And I also want to ask you and our audience to pray. One of the Middle Eastern country, there was an attack on Christians, so they burned down. And
yeah, I saw that.
And almost 7 churches and multiple dozens of Christians' homes and looting and all those things. So it's pretty chaotic. So just pray for the church in that land, that may the Lord protect his people and redeem their losses and protect even in the future.
Yeah, and so that's a great thing, and I would ask the audience to listen to what our brother's saying, because Samson's saying something really important. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are absolutely catching it for just being Christians. We think it's tough here. This is nothing, 0 on the scale of what they're going through. Their lives are being forfeited. Their homes are being destroyed. Their churches are being wiped out just because they believe. It's amazing. Yeah. So please be in prayer. In fact, let's pray real quickly right now. Let's do that. Father, we know that this is, we know it's all coming to a close, and we can tell, but first we're going to say the same thing we say every time, Lord. Thank you, because you are in control, and your timing is perfect. And we're asking for our brothers and sisters that you would protect them, that if you have to send an angel to protect them, to stop people, please do so. But keep our brothers and sisters safe. Lord, the property is important, but it's not as important as their lives. But put a hedge around them, just like is referenced in Job. Put a protection around them. Let them be safe. Let them be aware that others know and are praying for them and hoping for them and believing for them. We ask you to bless them out of the ashes, let there rise great hope and great gold that praises you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
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 Thank you, brother.
You're welcome, bro.
All right. Well, have a good Shabbat, huh?
Okay, you too.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So we're going to skip history because I got to do this teaching because it's phenomenal, but I only got 3 minutes, so we're going to roll. Okay, here, get ready. This is 1 Samuel 14, 6 through 7. This is one of the reasons I'm considering teaching Samuel. Okay, so it does matter. Here's what the text says. It's 1 Samuel 14, 6 through 7. Jonathan said to the attendant who carried his weapon, "Come on, let's cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will help us. Nothing can keep the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." His armor bearer responded, "Do what is in your heart. You choose. I'm right here with you, whatever you decide." Okay. I love this. Here's Jonathan, right? Friend of David, right? "Let's do something." That's what he says. I'm just like, "Let's do something." That's how it starts. Then he goes, "Perhaps the Lord will help us." He's even being honest. Hey, maybe the Lord's in it. Maybe the Lord's not in it. But you know what? We're never going to find out if we just stand around. We're going to have to try. And so he goes, "The Lord is never held back. The Lord will help us. Nothing can keep the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." And this is what's important about this, right? He's like, "Let's do something." Now, you already know it's something different because they're not doing what they normally do. And then he's like, perhaps the Lord will say, "Yeah." Maybe the Lord won't say, "Yeah." I mean, he doesn't need us to make it happen, but we'll go for it and see if God's behind us. And whether he's working through many or through few, he goes, it doesn't matter to the Lord. Nothing can keep him from saving, whether by many or by few. How realistic is that? Gideon had 300 soldiers, and there was 135,000 Midianites. So 135,000 versus 300. God was like, yeah, that's about right. You see the power that comes from the Lord? You see, everybody's thinking, well, it's got to be this or it's got to be physics and none of these laws can be broken. Supernatural is exactly that, the breaking of the norm laws. It's exactly what it is. That's what the whole process is. And so look at the response, by the way, which his armor bearer never gets props. I just want to point that out. There's hardly any commentaries that say anything about this guy. Verse 7, his armor bearer responded, do what is in your heart. You choose. I'm right here with you, whatever you decide. You see, here's the key. They were both united and committed, even though the armor bearer is like following him. He's kind of his servant in that very sense. He's supporting him, doing what he can. He's like, hey, man, whatever you want to do, let's do it. Let's do it together. We can do it. Let's get it done. Well, what's the difference there? It's that principle of unity, which didn't exist in the Tower of Babel once God destroyed their languages. In other words, the Tower of Babel, they were all united, one mind, and God goes, man, they're all united. They can do whatever they're setting out to accomplish and do, but I didn't give approval to it, so we're going to mess up their languages and then they won't be united. But they could have done it being united. Well, this armor bearer was united with Jonathan, and it's like pretty good. And Jonathan's theology, spot on, right? Let's do something. Let's go for it. Let's get out of the boat. Let's try it. He's like, perhaps the Lord will bless it. Perhaps he won't. I don't know. Let's try. The Lord's not limited. Let's go for it and see what happens. That's the attitude of faith. Get out of the boat. You'll never know if you can walk on the water if you stay in the boat. How are you supposed to know? That's why you get out. Because you live by faith and not by sight. Right? Okay. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 70 and one half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Thanks a lot for all the blessing that you give me.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.